Hi, everybody, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm Susanna Mars. Today, I am so fortunate to be sitting with Rick Lewis, the resident music director of Portland Center Stage, and currently, he is working on a musical by the name of Fun Home, which was written by Lisa Crone and Janine Tesori. Now, Rick's a creator, author, a musical arranger. He wrote The Taffetas, has productions around the world. He's written off-Broadway productions. He's arranged and written original music for Disney, UA Home Video, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and he lives here in Portland, and he's a remarkable artist, and we're so lucky to have him here. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You've been playing piano and composing and performing and music directing as long as I've known you. How did you come to it?
It's one of those things, sort of like there's a parallel a little bit to Fun Home. You have something sort of burning inside you and it has to come out. And I remember when I was at the age of five, watching Sammy Davis Jr. sing The Candyman on TV, black and white. And I went, I need to write this down. So I was five and I got a piece of paper and a ballpoint pen and I just started writing when it went up and down. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew there was a connection there to the music and I had to preserve it somehow. And then I taught myself to play the piano, took out library books on how to read music. And sometimes we're just born with this seed that has to do something and I listen to it.
That's remarkable because you didn't grow up in a place where it really that was an option for many people, right?
No. My dad was a Baptist minister, and the only music that was really allowed in the house was gospel music, of course, which is, you know, serves a wonderful purpose. But they really did not get what I wanted to do with music, let alone musical theater.
Wow. So, I mean, you really do have an alignment with this character of Allison.
Oh, in too many ways.
Oh, how is it to work on that with that kind of pouring through you?
Well, I mean, there's many parallels. Growing up with, and I'm revealing a lot here, growing up with a dad who was in the closet for his whole life, my siblings are not even aware of what I know. And my mother's the one who told me that my dad was gay. And they're both gone. So it's okay to talk about it. Hmm. That parallel there. So when I saw the show in New York, I had not heard a single song before. I sometimes like to be surprised that this word of mouth on the show was so keen. And so I went to see it. I heard Ring of Keys on the Tonys. That was basically my reference to it. And then I saw it and I was a blubbering mess at the end of the show because I was watching my life. And I think the uncanny thing about the show is I know so many people who say to me all the time who don't have the same experience as I do, but they go, oh, my God, that is my life. Mm. That is my life. Because I think there's so many statements and signals given during the show that just represent a family.
And finding oneself. I know when I saw Fun Home during Ring of Keys, which I'm going to play a little excerpt right now, the sniffling was audible throughout the entire audience of this young person finding and expressing through words and music her experience of seeing someone who she'd never seen before who really connected her to who she is.
You didn't notice her at first, but I saw her the moment she walked in. She was a delivery woman. She came in with a handcart full of packages. She was an old school butch.
Someone just came in the door, like no one I ever saw before. I feel, I don't know where you came from. I wish I did. I feel so dumb. I feel your swagger and your bearing and just right clothes you're wearing, your short hair and your dungarees and your lace-up boots and your keys, oh, your ring of keys.
It's so fascinating because you heard their two voices, a young person and then an older person, and they're the same character. It's Allison at various times in her life.
There are three of them. There's small Allison who sings Ring of Keys. There's medium Allison, as she's referred to in the script. who is college age Allison, who actually then comes to terms in a beautiful way with being a lesbian. And then there's big Allison, who is actually the crux of the story, if I can go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big Allison's, the whole focus of the story is Allison, based on the incredible graphic artist Allison Bechtel, is trying to fit the pieces together of some unfinished answers about her dad's suicide, and going back and looking at her life and turning it into these panels, which she did in this incredible graphic novel. Mm-hmm. And then the show is constructed in a series of panels as well. So we go from scene to scene.
It's fun to tell everybody that the title Fun Home comes from the fact that Allison's father and mother had a family funeral home. So Fun Home comes from funeral home. And I'll play in a little bit an excerpt from a hilarious commercial that the kids in the family at a young age developed for the funeral home. It's mm-hmm. incredible. So speak a little bit more about Allison's father and his journey in the piece, as much as you feel that you can.
Well, time period. So, you know, socially, it's in the 70s. In his 40s, died, and the assumption is suicide. And it was the 70s. And if you think about what a gay male representation of the 70s was, it's, you know, there's a visual look that we think of, you know, with the short shorts and the army boots and the wool socks and the tank tops. And so we had these very vivid depictions of what a gay male was. And I don't think we're, you know, in the 70s, we weren't as tolerant or as open to anything that was not, as the religious right would like to say, the traditional family. And so I think it must have been really difficult for a man to marry in the early 60s, have kids. That's what you had to do. I don't think he had a choice to say, hey, I might be gay, let me explore this. That's just not what, it wasn't really a common thing.
Right. It's so interesting. I mean, the discoveries that Allison makes are absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So musically speaking, you're the music director. Mm-hmm. How do you help these three actors come into being one character?
Well, it's fortunately, when you're working with a composer like Janine Tesori, mm-hmm. and then Lisa Krohn's incredible and the book, so much is given to us. It's one of those really rare gems of a musical. It's so clear the story that each is telling. So when we're storytelling more than singing, and that's what's incredible about this score. There are some absolutely beautiful and exquisite musical moments, but when you take them apart and you try and go, well, what's really gorgeous? Is it the melody? No, it's the marriage of the melody and this incredible story that's happening. Mm. Because there's some musical ideas that if you took the lyric and the story away, would that catch your ear? Yes, but would it be as compelling? No. Mm. And I think once you take each lady, and you have small Allison, medium Allison, and Allison, and you have them tell their story with these notes. And we're not looking at it as a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. It's like, how would I express that idea without music? And then we take that and we put the music on, and the words feel different. So the cool thing is with these three ladies, they're all singing words and telling stories. Mm-hmm. At the end of the show, the three of them come together in this finale about flying away. Mm-hmm. And what's uncanny with all three of these women is it sounds like one voice split into three-part harmony. Mm-hmm. Absolutely exquisite. And the writing is gorgeous. So they're smart. They're paying attention to what Lisa Krohn and Janine Tesori said. How can they not win?
It's so interesting because even as you describe it, of course, it is when they finally sing together, when they become one, and each of their voices is a piece of her,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is just, oh, it gives me the chills.
It's difficult being in the room with that number.
Oh, I imagine. Well, I'll play the excerpt of the 70s song, which is actually really fun because you wrote a musical that was based on 70s music.
Yeah, I did. It was the last show I took to New York. It opened 2 weeks before Rent, and so nothing else happened. And it was a spoof of Up With People.
Right.
And we got great reviews. We just weren't Rent.
Right. Right. You and Floyd Collins.
There you go.
It just cracked me up when I saw that because, I mean, I just thought about the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family. It is hilarious. It's so much fun.
Oh, it is. It is. It's such an homage to all of that. But I think with the kids growing up, it's not like Allison in college decided that she was going to be a lesbian because you don't make that choice. But she didn't come to terms with it, and suddenly her life became questionable. I think these three kids growing up in a funeral home with an abusive father,
mm-hmm.
Was dealing with his own demons and not necessarily the best household because he's trying to live in this perfect model, family. I don't think their life was not perfect.
Mm.
And so they could go to TV and fantasy, and that's where, like all of us, that's what our family did.
Well, so interesting, too, because both of the parents were perfectionists. The mm-hmm. father, Bruce is the name, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yep, and Helen?
Helen.
They are perfectionists in their areas, Helen being a pianist and
an actress.
And wanting, perfection in everything she plays, and Bruce being a restorer of antiques, and
uh-huh.
even their home is basically a museum almost.
Yes, and he's an English teacher, and she's mm-hmm. a teacher as well,
mm-hmm.
yes.
So that it's so fascinating. You know, of course, Allison's an incredible artist, a visual artist, and has that sense of accuracy in her work. And then she has this incredible creativity and this ability to go outside the lines.
Very much, particularly when, I think her big moment in the spotlight is Fun Home.
Mm.
So to take her gift as an artist and then to open up her soul and put it on paper in small panels, that's huge.
Yeah, the book is so beautiful. Go pick up that book. It's at the library. You can pick it up at a bookstore, and it's just lovely. You'll want to take a look at it, especially if you see the show. It's fascinating to see how the show was birthed from this book.
Oh, it's amazing how it just opens up, and you go, well, of course there should be a song there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm most curious to see how Alison Bechdel responded when she first saw it enlivened on its feet with a band.
Oh, I bet that must have been extremely emotional.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be.
So I'm just curious, what are the kinds of music that have had impact on you, and what would be the first thing that you heard that you thought, well, that's, I guess it was Sammy Davis Jr. and the Candyman.
Probably back then, a little bit of the bubblegum stuff. I remember going to Canada with my family on vacation and listening to Beach Boys on the radio with my aunt. I'd never really heard them before. But I do have to say that when I was in high school, it was the Carpenters.
Mm.
Again, very 70s. And then my dad threw away my Carpenters album because he didn't want, quote unquote, rock and roll in the house.
Oh.
So, but that was probably the biggest influence for me. And I think that's also where I learned to hear sounds and clusters of notes together and working with voices as a mass sound as opposed to just solos.
Mm. Yeah, it's really beautiful. The harmonies they created are incredible. So this is a mountain of a show, emotionally and musically. How do you, meet it out during the rehearsal process, and how do you come up with your plan for the whole process?
Well, fortunately, you know, collaborating with Chris Coleman is like it's a wonderful experience because Chris and I have developed a really good vocabulary and a good working relationship, and so we pretty much bounce off of each other. But like this week, we're staging the show. I think we're almost finished staging it, except for like maybe 2 minutes of it, and it really is finding out what serves the piece the most. So when you're dealing with something this emotionally heavy, teaching the music, you can sort of remove yourself from the emotional process.
Mm-hmm.
When we're staging it, and the last third of the show is, very emotional, mm-hmm. and very raw. We just have to be cognizant of what are we getting out of this next 10 minutes that we're going to be working on,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that the actor is informed, and then we can go on to something that's not going to make us want to kill ourselves on the way home. It's not depressing.
No,
it is
not at all. It's so
emotionally charged is really what it is.
I agree. It's so opening, it just, the whole show really opens your heart. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think when I said I was bawling at the end of the show, and not because I was sad or not, it just had an impact mm-hmm. on my soul. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever responded to a show that way. In fact, it was the first night I went to go cast Little Shop of Horrors for Portland Center Stage last year. So I went to New York. First night I was there, I got half price tickets at TKTS and Fun Home. Fabulous seats, and went to see it. Normally, when I go to New York, I'll try and see a show as many times as I can. I saw Fun Home. It absolutely destroyed me. And I said, I can't see anything else this week. I will not see anything that's going to eclipse my response to the show, because you don't always get to respond this way to a musical.
Yeah, I agree. What was your first theater piece?
That I saw?
Mm-hmm.
My first theater piece it was back in the 20s. No, I so don't, because we weren't really allowed to go to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
My first, it would be a show that I was in high school. It was mm-hmm. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Oh, who'd you play?
Toynbee, a little kid in the chorus.
Oh, how great.
And my dad came to see a show, because he is Bruce. Came to see a rehearsal, and I was so excited because my dad actually got to catch a few minutes of it.
Mm.
And afterwards, he created a huge stink, was going to pull me out of the show, and was going to give a lecture to the director and tell him he shouldn't be doing such an abomination.
Oh.
And that made me want to do theater even more. Thanks, Dad.
Typical parental, any parent says, don't do it. So pay attention, parents.
Exactly.
Yes, it's wonderful. I think it's a great idea to dance naked in the streets. So when you're not doing theater, which is most of the time, I know that you've got an incredible conservatory for music, the Bridgetown Conservatory. You're working there undoubtedly,
yes.
Probably taking a little bit of break right now.
We start classes in 2 weeks on the 16th.
Mm-hmm, that's uh-huh. incredible. And then when you're not at Bridgetown or at Portland Center Stage, then what are you doing in your quote-unquote free time?
Well, my partner and I just bought 5 acres in La Center,
mm-hmm.
Which is a little farm. We have a barn. We have a chicken coop. We have 10 chickens in the coop. We have 5 dogs. We're going to get 2 goats next year.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, for me, when I'm not doing anything else, I'm sitting in my backyard watching my partner do all the things he wanted to do on a 5-acre farm. And I'm in a hammock or playing with our 5 dogs.
Did his parents say never farm?
Probably.
So I'm curious, what role models did you have growing up? I mean, obviously your parents weren't, really positive about the type of role models that I would assume you might have with your love of music and theater. How did you navigate the people that you, really wanted to get a look at?
I don't know. And I've never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my role models, honestly, would have been scattered and strewn throughout my, if I were to do a graphic novel and open up, it'd probably be ridiculous to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably any adult who seemed honest and made sense to me.
Mm.
Because the one thing I learned from my father as a Baptist minister, and actually I knew something was not, you know, you're young and you like with Ring of Keys, you can't really sense what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, you know when, and you can't put those words to it until you're an adult, when something is not honest and something is not authentic,
mm-hmm.
something doesn't ring right. And I think when I met someone who seemed invested in me and seemed honest and consistent, those were the people that I were drawn to. Probably my biggest role model was my high school music teacher, who said for the first time to me, and I have it in the senior gift that he gave me when I graduated high school, it said, "I know in my heart that you can do whatever you choose to do."
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And it was the first time somebody said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I started Bridgetown, is because I know that as a child who wants to perform or wants to do anything, sometimes all we need to do is hear someone that we trust,
mm-hmm.
who's been there, say, "You can do it. You mm-hmm. can do anything you want."
Right. And you have many wonderful teachers at Bridgetown.
Fabulous. Laura and Del, they're both with Broadway experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we work on helping kids who just have a germ of wanting to do a musical theater career discover that, yes, they can.
Well, I imagine that your experience, I mean, I just know that about you, and I'm on the Bridgetown board,
mm-hmm.
so I see your love of, you know, working with young people, and undoubtedly it comes from the fact that you didn't really have that. I mean, you had few people here and there.
No, my parents would never have sent me to a place like Bridgetown,
mm-hmm.
and I would have run away from home to go to any school that let you work on singing and dancing and acting.
Mm.
And the cool thing is, the one really neat thing about Bridgetown is, not to turn this into a conversation about that, but why not?
It's about you.
And
you're,
exactly.
You're Bridgetown, you're PCS, you do so many amazing things in the community.
Three of the kids in Fun Home are Bridgetown students, which is great.
That's incredible.
And it's because they're good,
mm-hmm.
Because we turn out good people.
Right.
So our small Allison is a Bridgetown student, and our John, who is the youngest of the kids, who sings the first verse of Come to the Fun Home,
mm-hmm.
is a Bridgetown student. Another student is one of the other actors who plays Christian, is a private voice student of mine. And then the understudy to Small Allison is a Bridgetown student.
That's so great. So. And it's such an opportunity. I know that various times I've worked at Portland Center Stage, it's so much fun to be a regional theater actor and have the opportunity to work with people from all over the U.S.,
Oh, yeah.
And have that incredible professional experience. It's really a treat.
You know, I'm very, very fortunate to have moved to New York, come out here,
mm-hmm.
dragged out here, and then to have this incredible space to work in with
mm-hmm.
wonderful people and working with incredible talent
mm-hmm.
all the time. I'm
right.
blessed.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff. So what are you hoping that audiences leave with when they leave Fun Home?
Affirmation, openness, and I think in so many ways a renewed sense of just love on every level of loving other people, understanding. You know, I think so many people, going back to the sexual identification idea, you don't. I think generally people just assume, oh, I'm gay, and that's what it is. The struggle that it takes people to actually come to terms with the whoever they are, whether it's gay or that you want to be an artist or you want to be a musician or you want to be a singer.
Or you want to be a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a woman.
Or you feel that you are,
mm-hmm.
not that you want to, that
right.
you feel that you are.
Yes.
That you feel that you are a musician or an
mm-hmm.
actor,
mm-hmm.
all of those things. It's not like, oh, it's a huge emotional push and pull
mm-hmm.
for all of us. And so if it opens up the eyes of the souls of people,
mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, the plight of Bruce and Helen, and Bruce, his journey is so heartbreaking, that idea of someone not being able to be who they are, just his pain is so palpable.
Well, it's not just Bruce, it's Helen too.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Because Helen can't be who she really is
mm-hmm.
either, because she's made so many compromises.
Right.
But, and that's the thing, is I think is when I watch the show, you realize, you know, there's a piece of everybody everybody in the world, mm-hmm. everybody in your neighborhood, on mm-hmm. your bus or in your office in this show. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing.
Yes, it really is. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to me. And Fun Home is going to be at Portland Center Stage at the U.S. Bank Main Stage, September 16th through the 22nd. And you can find tickets at pcs.org. And I'm going to play you out with another little excerpt from Fun Home. So enjoy it.
Daddy, comma. Hey, Daddy, come here, okay? Question mark. I need
Daddy,
you.
Daddy, come here, okay? I need you.
At the light, at the light, at the light, at the light.
What are you doing, comma? I said, come here. You need
what
you
doing?
To
I said,
do
come here.
What I tell you,
need you
to do.
You need to do what I tell you to do. Listen to me. Daddy, come here. Hey, right here, right now. You're making me mad. Listen to
How
me.
Does
Listen
it
to
feel
me.
To
Listen to me. I wanna play airplane.
With you and
I wanna play airplane.